Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Psalm 133. Would you guys like to read this with me? Yeah? Okay. Psalm 133. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of the Hermon, descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. That's my message is going to be based from this, and it pretty much talks about unity. And David really breaks down in three verses. He talks about unity and how beautiful it is. And he tries to paint a picture. So I'm going to do my best today to try and paint the picture that he's trying to give, show us as simple and as clear as I can. That's my title. And before I get anywhere further, I'll pray. Lord, thank you for just everything you've done in our lives. And Lord, thank you for the fact that you call us by name. You know us by name. And you have assigned each and every person that is sitting here. You have brought us here safely and together. And we thank you for the gift of family. And we give you thanks for the gift of family. We pray, Father, that through this word, you know, I really submit to the authority of your scripture, Lord, that you would just speak, move out of the way, and I clear myself of anything that would hinder your voice being spoken clearly in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Okay, and so I noticed as I was sitting down there that Lily got us to read out our church vision statement, and it was pretty shocking. So I'm going to give you guys another chance, and we're going to do it in unity, not disunity. We'll try it again. You guys ready? 3, 2, 1. Every Nation Brisbane is a part of Every Nation family. Churches. I'll give you guys a break, and at the end of my sermon, we'll give it a go again, yeah? And so that is our vision statement, and we believe, you know, we will accomplish this through our values, worship, discipleship, outreach, and family. And, you know, we value the physical family and the families that you all have individually, and we believe that we have all been called to be a spiritual family. Turn to your neighbor, say, we family. Say it with some attitude. We family. Man, I need more hands. Okay, sorry. So, I'll move out of the way. So I'm going to break this down as much as I can so you guys can really catch what David's trying to say here. So verse 1, he says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Every time you see the word behold in the Bible, what they're trying to say is to take attention. You know, to get your attention. It's almost like a trumpet blast. You know, when back in the olden days, you'd have the guy at the top of the castle with the trumpet before they make an announcement. Well, that's the sort of thing that's going on. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to pay attention, you know, gaze upon, focus. Listen, I've got something to say. And it says how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. As I was reading this, I'm trying to catch, you know, David has to say this twice. So he's saying how good, how pleasant. So he's saying there's goodness and it's pleasurable. And so I went to look at when he says to dwell together in unity. I was thinking, I know what dwell means, but I wanted to kind of look into it further and see what the deeper meaning of dwelling was or dwell was. And I had a feeling you guys were going to ask me, so I went and looked it up anyway. So this is what I found. Dwell, formally it means to live in or at a specified place. Psalm chapter 27, verse 4, David talks about having a desire to dwell in the house of the Lord. And he talks about literally trying to live, wanting to live in the house of the Lord so that he could inquire and be amazed at the beauty. You know, with each and every one of us, I hope that we all live in a house. You know, I know with my house, I know where the bathroom is. I know where the kitchen is. I know where the bedrooms are. I know where the couch is. And I know these things because it's my house. And so David's saying he wants to be like that. You know, he wants to dwell in God's house. He wants to be in there that well that he knows, he, when he says, I want to inquire of the Lord, that he wants to know everything about God and what he does and everything and the way he works. And so in second, it says, think, speak, or write at length about a particular subject. And so as a church, we have this vision statement, and that's the vision we believe. That's the way we believe we're going to go about reaching this city, this nation, our families, and the community. And it is really important. I'll say the way it's going to get done is if there is unity, that we need to be like-minded. We need to be speaking about these sort of things. We need to be dwelling together as a family. I mean, as I have brothers and sisters, biologically, I stand here and I tell you guys that I am your brother. You guys are my sisters and my brothers. And that's how God wants us to be. He's called us to be a spiritual family, but to really be a family together, you know, that we dwell here. We come here every Sunday. I mean, we might as well be family. I know a lot of you guys really well. And so now Romans 15:5-6 says, now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded towards one another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Paul is saying, that it's really important that we be one-minded. And it's easy to come to church every Sunday. And I could say, me personally, I've had times where it becomes routine, and you kind of forget what we're doing. You know, you kind of come to church, and I'll do my thing, or I'll have my encounter with God, but then we need to be constantly through relationship reminding each other what our duty is and what we're here for. I mean, we're not turning up here just to take up a couple hours on your Sunday. We are here because we have something we believe, and that is reaching Brisbane, reaching the community, and reaching the people that want to know the very thing that you know, and that is Jesus Christ. And so to get there and to be able to do the job, we need to be in unity. And then we'll go on to the next verse. David begins to start painting the picture. It is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. And so when I read this, I was thinking, unity, dwelling together, what does it have to do with Aaron and oil on his head? I couldn't, off the top of my head, I couldn't think of anything. So I decided to do some digging, and I went to look for it. Leviticus 8:12, and he poured some of the anointing oil on Aaron's head and anointed him to consecrate him. David was reaching back into history, and he was talking about when Aaron and his sons were ordained and appointed into the priesthood. And so when God told Moses, he said, okay, there's a specific oil that I want you to make. And he gave him specific ingredients to make this oil. It had cinnamon, and that's the only thing I can remember because it's sweet. And so it probably smelled pretty good. And so as God gave him specific instructions to make this oil, he used it to anoint the tabernacle, and even he poured it on Aaron's head. And the reason why he did it was because he said to consecrate him. And so David's saying, when we dwell together in unity, it is like the oil that's running down the beard of Aaron. So I think it would be fair to say that when we dwell together, there is an anointing that comes when you dwell together. There's a consecration that comes when you dwell together, a setting apart, a being made holy by dwelling together. And so, and I think it's so clever of David to be, I mean, I would have read this easily and just passed it without thinking anything about that. But David's comparing these things, and he's trying to tell us, when you dwell together, this is what it's like. There's a setting apart. There's a consecration. There's a anointing. Just as Aaron was anointed through the oil, there becomes an anointing from God when we dwell together in unity. And so he moves on to the third verse. So this is the second illustration. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. So he's now making a comparison to something else. It is like the dew of Hermon. And so I went to go look that up, Rebecca Dew. And I'll show you a picture. That is the mountains of Hermon. And this mountain is actually the tallest in the land of Israel. And because of its high elevation and the humidity up there, there's some, the dew is really heavy and thick. And because the dew is really heavy and thick, the land around the bottom of the mountain apparently has one of the best soil in the land of Israel. And so because of the moisture, and moisture is really good there, and all the dew, the soil, they have, apparently they have the most beautiful flowers that grow at the foot of the mountain. And so now David is saying, when we dwell together in unity, there is a dew. It is like the dew that falls down on Mount, dew of Mount Hermon, descending upon the mountains of Zion. In the Bible, throughout the Bible, Zion is referred to as the city of Jerusalem, or the people of God. And so he's trying to say that there's, it's almost like a life that God, you know, through the dew that falls down and gives life to the very soil, is, it's, it has that same sort of effect when we dwell together in unity. And, you know, I think David, and then he says, for there the Lord commanded the blessing. I mean, how many of you guys know that when God commands a blessing, that's, it's sold, done deal. You know, that's it. You can't stop it. And so he's saying, when we dwell together in unity, he commands a blessing, life forevermore, eternal life. You know, when Jesus came and paid the price for us, and the blessing right there we received through Christ was eternal life. And so going through this verse and picking up these things that I found, I was thinking, how could I apply this to my life, and how could I make this applicable to the things that I'm going through, that to my position as a family member of this church. And so I'll say six blessings that we get from Psalm 133, from dwelling together in unity. We get one, we get goodness, comes pleasure, there's an anointing, there's the dew, that life that we get from, you know, from dwelling in God in unity, and it talks about the blessings and eternal life. And so I wanted to think of, how can I break this down, and how could I apply this to me as a member of the spiritual family? And so I came up with three things. First one, stand in your place. Judges 7:21, and every man stood in his place all around the camp. He's talking about Gideon, the army of, when Gideon went to fight a battle against the Midianites. Gideon had 32,000 men. God said, scratch that, that's way too many, because you guys are going to say you guys did it because you guys had all the power, and that I want 300 guys, and we'll use 300 so that I can get the glory. And so their plan of attack was that every man stood in his place around the camp. And so each and every one of us, as a part of the spiritual family, we're being given a position, a position to stand in. You know, for me, I know that I have responsibility through the giftings that God has given me, through music, to stand in my position, which is in the worship team, stand in my position as a husband to my wife, stand as in my position as an example to the men who want to get married, stand in my position as the men to the people who don't have children yet. And so, you know, God gives me, for me, a responsibility to really know my place, know my position, know the position that I hold in this church, and to really take hold of that. And because through that, I will be able to do my part to be in unity with the rest of us. And if we could all do that, I mean, it's pretty crazy how powerful that could be. And so, second one, stand in the gap. This one has been hitting me all week, because I've gone through so much. The enemy has just been left, right, and center, trying to do all sorts of things that didn't even harm me, but I'm still alive. And so this is one thing that I really needed, was standing in the gap. Because I mean, I had brothers. I'm so grateful for my brother Damien up there. We spoke during the week, and he was able to pray for me over the phone and encourage me and really stand in the gap. And see, that's the responsibility that he knows he has towards me, and I will do exactly the same for him because he's my brother. I mean, like any one of us who has brothers and sisters, siblings, if something went wrong with your brother or your sister, you would be there in a second to stand with them and to do everything you can to protect them. So for me, in the spiritual family, I have a responsibility to protect you ladies, to protect you men, brothers and sisters, you know, and I'll do everything I can to do what I need to, whether it's through prayer, whether it's through meeting up with you guys, whether it's through taking time to practice my drums just to help you guys out and make it sound a little bit better. You know, I have, you know, it's really about trying to find your place in our church and in our family. You know, for me, in my biological, in my physical family, I know my place is being a dad and a husband, and I have to make sure I fulfill all my responsibilities, because if I don't, the bills won't get paid. We end up out on the street sleeping, you know. And so as I continue to be responsible with my responsibilities as a father and a provider and a husband in my family, unity is able to take its forth its blessings and its power that come through with it. And lastly, stand as the bride. And so here we got husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself over for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. And so lastly, we have, when I gave my life to Jesus, I made a covenant with him. And the exact same way that I made a covenant with my wife when we stood at the altar and I said, through sickness and in health, till death do us part, I promise to take care of you and to love you no matter what. And so I made a covenant with my wife. And in the same aspect, when we commit ourselves to Jesus, we make a covenant with him. And us, as when you find your position in your family, and then you find your position in your spiritual family, we also have a job as a spiritual family to honor the covenant we have with the husband, with Jesus. That's going to come because we have his responsibility. He's saying right here that he would, the church, the glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. We've got a responsibility. That's our job. When Jesus comes back, he's expecting a beautiful bride. I mean, how many married ladies do we have here? We need some more married ladies. Come on, preach. I'll prophesy that one. More married ladies and men. And so I guarantee you that when they got married, there was a lot of preparation that went to, am I right? You got makeup, you got your hair. They would have done manicure, pedicure. You know, they probably would have been losing weight for the, who knows, fasting for 21 days before. For spiritual reasons, of course. You know, there would have been a lot of preparation. And see, that's the seriousness that comes as a wife, that she knows that she has to prepare herself for her husband, for the big day. And we actually have the same responsibility as a church to prepare the bride for Christ. You know, it's so easy for us to come just Sundays and be a consumer and just, you know, yes, oh, I received the blessing. And, you know, just casual, come in casually and just do the church thing, but we really have to take this serious. You know, for me, I had to really repent and really, you know, say really, I literally did have to repent because I felt like I wasn't really taking it that serious. And so it's really important that we actually realize how much or have the seriousness of the covenant that we have with Christ as a bride through Christ. And so this is something that has really spoken to me in my walk, and I even stand here and I will tell you guys, each and every one of you guys, I'm willing to commit myself to you, every one of you guys here, as a brother, you know, to stand in the gap for you guys and to pray for you guys and to do whatever a brother would do for another brother or sister. And, you know, as I'm standing here, I want to profess it out right in front of you guys that, you know, I'm willing to stand in the gap for you guys. I'm willing to do whatever it takes to make sure, you know, that I'll help and protect you guys wherever I can and do my part with whatever I have with my family that will contribute to keeping this unity together. And if we could do that as a church, and if everyone begins to pull their part individually so that we can keep this unity that, you know, and unlock the power of the unity that comes, that brings all the blessings and the anointing and the life that God's word promises. There's no doubt that vision that we just read out, done deal. But you know what? The one thing that'll stop it from happening, disunity. And, you know, even throughout this weekend, this morning, We didn't even know where any of the gear was, the microphones, cables. We had a guitar and Steph grabbed the amp. And so, there were so many things going on that the devil knows that the way to attack is to cause dissension or cause disunity. And he's constantly trying to cause disunity in the church. The church is probably one of his biggest, it's probably number one on his list, because he knows if there is unity in the church, then it's game over for him. And so I encourage you as a church, to really do a self-check on yourselves. And I will give you guys an opportunity to do that. And, I'll even open it up now. You know, if there's anyone here that you're wanting to really take this commitment in our church seriously, I'll give you guys an opportunity to stand or you guys can stand, or if anyone here wants to stand, I'll be happy to pray for you guys. That's what God has spoken to me, and I really encourage you guys, treat each other like family, because we are family. There's no coincidence that each and every one of you are here, because God has called you here, and God doesn't work in accidents or luck or coincidence. Everything is planned out, and you're here because it was all planned out. He knew it from day one, even before you were in your mother's womb. The very word says it. And so, stand your ground, and let's not let the enemy try and distract or disrupt or steal our unity, because he knows the price is paid. We just got to walk it out. That's it. Amen. Would you guys like to stand to your feet so I can pray? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the gift of unity, and we thank you for the gift of family, and we thank you that you have appointed each and every one of us where we are today. And Lord, I pray, Father, that your word would really just sink into our hearts, and that your Holy Spirit would really give understanding and direction and shine lights on areas where the devil, or little gaps where the devil will try and just sneak in to cause disunity in the church. And Lord, we dedicate this church to you, and we stand here and really commit ourselves to your service, and commit ourselves to doing everything we can, every bit of fiber in our bodies, to the seriousness of preparing the bride for you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the price that you've paid, and we give our whole entire lives to your service. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.